It's getting pretty close to Christmas. 14 sleeps. And books make excellent presents. But it's sometimes a little daunting to know what to get for the individuals in your life. RNZ producer and former bookseller Robert Kelly has volunteered this Christmas season to give you tailored advice for the people in your life. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Jesse.
Well, it's this week four and still the requests come in.
People need books. People need ideas. I couldn't agree more.
Hello, says somebody. Good way to start a message. I'd like book recommendations for a male aged 29 who is interested in World War II, especially from an espionage-type angle.
Yep, so straight into spy books. And how could I talk about espionage in the 20th century without talking about John le Carré? John le Carré had a huge collection of novels. Have you read any of them, Jesse?
No, I interviewed his biographer last year and became pretty fascinated with the guy, but haven't got to any of his work yet.
He's such an interesting figure, and he's kind of known for things like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, which is, for my money, one of the absolute best thrillers out there. But he wrote a huge range of stuff, and what I want to recommend here is Call for the Dead. And Call for the Dead was his first novel, and it's the first time that George Smiley appears. And George Smiley is kind of his most famous character, who appears in the Carla trilogy, which is Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, The Honourable Schoolboy, which is one of the saddest books I've ever read, and Smiley's People. But Call for the Dead is about, it's kind of cat and mouse, and it's in the immediate aftermath of the Second World War. So it's spies on both sides of the game, and also spies who haven't worked out what side of the game they're on, all trying to catch each other. And it's, I think it would be a perfect pitch for this. The other one I want to recommend for this reader is Trinity by Louisa Hall. It's a new book. It came out this year, and it's a Cold War spy drama based on the life of Oppenheimer.
Great.
And the spy who was sent to track Oppenheimer.
Fantastic. I read a good Oppenheimer. What's it called? When it's sort of a fiction...
Oh, yeah, narrative fiction.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was it called? It was named after the place in New Mexico where they did their...
Oh, right.
What was it called?
I don't know, sorry.
You don't know?
I've got no idea.
Okay, I'll find out. Someone else has a 31-year-old daughter, not much of a reader, couldn't finish the luminaries, said it was boring, but she's interested in history, likes nonfiction, and she has a short attention span. She also likes true crime.
It's a baffling brief, this one. I think this is kind of the toughest one I've had so far. I couldn't finish the luminaries either, so I sympathise hugely. I'm going to recommend Silence of the Girls by Pat Barker. It's not non-fiction, but it is slightly historical. I recommended it last week as well. It's a retelling of the Iliad from the point of view of Briseis. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant book. Or Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. It broke a lot of records a few years ago, won a lot of awards. It's a retelling. I've done it again, Jesse, without realizing it. I'm giving you something that's based on historical fiction, but slightly distorted.
Yeah, okay.
It's my favorite genre. The Underground Railroad is about the actual historical institution of the Underground Railroad, which was a system of people and... who worked trying to get slaves out of the South up into the North.
Wow.
It's an incredible story, the actual Underground Railroad story. What Colson Whitehead did was make it literal. So in that book, there is an Underground Railroad.
Yeah, I've either heard of or read about this
it's
book.
It sounds
great. Yeah.
It's one of the toughest things I've read, but also I could not put it down. And it is slightly fantastical, but it's so lodged in reality that it just really gets you. So I think that could be. And it's a short little, you know how much I love a short book, Jesse. It's a under 200 page banger.
Great. The book I was trying to think of was Los Alamos.
Oh, right, yeah.
By Joseph Cannon. And that was, set around the time of Oppenheimer and the development of the atomic bomb. My husband has always been an avid reader, but this year his renal condition has deteriorated. He used to complete 1,000-piece puzzles and read a book a week, but lately his interest in reading has dropped off, so he's been watching YouTube. He used to read sci-fi and mystery books. Please help.
I think audiobooks could be a solution here.
Yeah.
When you're in pain or if you're uncomfortable, focusing on a book can be quite difficult. So audiobooks, some people look at them as something different. I don't at all. I consume about half of my fiction through audiobooks. I think they're a wonderful resource. And I think in this case, I would recommend Jasper Ford's Thursday Next series, because I think this person could maybe do with some escapism. And if they're a big reader, the Thursday Next book starts with The Eyre Affair, which is a retelling of Jane Eyre when the characters decide to stage a coup and have a different and have a different ending, and a detective gets sent in to sort it out. If you're an avid reader, there are so many jokes in those books that you will get, and I think that could be a lovely way of getting outside of the space.
Really clever. How do I buy a present for my mum who's a high school English teacher? It's tough buying a book for someone who reads for a job.
My mum's an English teacher too. I feel this. Fun stuff. Stuff that's not work. What are they interested in? What do they get up to outside of work? Travel writing and food writing are the things I go to for people like this. Mm. You get this bit a lot in bookshops. Like, we need help because this person just reads all the time, and like, how can we give them something that will help them relax? So my favourite food writing book by an absolute mile is called Blood, Bones and Butter by Gabriel Hamilton.
Great.
It's one of those books that's ostensibly about food but isn't. It's about life, love, death, loss, marriage, building a restaurant and with someone that you think you love, and then it all falling apart. She's the chef of a restaurant in New York called Prune, which some people may know about, but she was a drifter. And it's a drifter's memoir of someone whose life has centered around kitchens. Wonderful book. I'd also recommend...
Have you read Garlic and Sapphires?
Oh, I love that book so much. I think that was the first food writing I ever read by Ruth Reichel.
Ruth Reichel was the food critic for the New York Times, and her book is about how she used to dress up to go incognito to review restaurants in New York. Yes, very good. Time for one more?
Okay, yep, one more.
Book recommendations for a 21-year-old male, a very reluctant reader as a teenager, but now finally starting to read, enjoys biographies. He's already read Muhammad Ali and Lou Gehrig and Acid for Children. Any suggestions gratefully received?
So Acid for the Children by Flea, one of the coolest books of the year. He's done well there. I'm going to recommend Just Kids by Patti Smith.
Great.
It's a memoir of her first kind of big relationship and how it fell apart. It's a wonderful book.
Robert Mapplethorpe, eh?
Yeah.
When she first got to Manhattan.
It's a wonderful book, and she's kind of writing a series of books about different bits of her life. She's a wonderful memoirist, and once again, it's about the environment she's in, not herself.
Are we doing this again next week?
If you want to, Jesse, I'm here.
Great. Robert Kelly, you can find his recommendations on rnz.co.nz/Jesse. Would you mind putting them up, Robert? That'd be awesome.